KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky. And at 62 degrees, we look for skies to be partly cloudy today with isolated showers and a high of 81. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. In Southwest Iowa news, officials at the Creston Police Department report today 35-year-old Jason Johnson of Lewis was arrested, or rather of Lenox, was arrested just before 6 p.m. Monday. Johnson was taken into custody at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for violation of parole. He was being held in the jail without bond. And there were separate theft and vandalism incidents reported to the Creston Police Department on Monday. A resident of the 500 block of West Montgomery Street said that sometime in the last few months, someone stole an intake manifold and carburetor from a vehicle that was parked in the back of the residence. The loss was estimated at $300. A resident of the 1000 block of South Sumner Street in Creston told police that sometime between 11 p.m. Sunday and 6:30 a.m. Monday, someone keyed his vehicle while it was in a parking lot near the residence. Damage was estimated at $200. Red Oak police say 24-year-old Dakota Sexton of Red Oak was arrested just before 6 a.m. Monday in connection with an incident that occurred Sunday night. Sexton was arrested for disorderly conduct and brought to the Montgomery County Jail, where his bond was set at $300. And a 13-year-old was cited Saturday evening for having no valid driver's license, while an adult male was cited for permitting an unauthorized minor to drive following an accident that caused a total of $2,000 damage. Red Oak police say a 1992 Chevy C1500 pickup driven by the 13-year-old male was in the process of going around the block from East Washington Avenue to North 7th Street. When the vehicle turned south and the driver overcorrected, the pickup struck a legally parked 1984 GMC pickup in the passenger side door. The parked pickup is owned by James Joe Collins of Red Oak. Police say Justin Todd Knuckles of Red Oak was cited for letting the juvenile, his neighbor's son, drive Knuckles' pickup. There were no injuries reported. Four people were injured during a rollover accident Sunday afternoon in Red Oak. Authorities say a 2000 Ford F-150 pickup owned by Wendy Ann Wilkins of Red Oak and driven by an unidentified 16-year-old male, also occupied by six people, was in the turnaround in Indian Gully near Oakwood Avenue and had been spinning around. The pickup left the turnaround and headed west on Oakwood Avenue. The vehicle accelerated and began to slide sideways before the front end entered the south ditch, and the back end spun around 180 degrees before also entering the ditch. Due to the angle of the ditch and the speed of the vehicle, the pickup rolled over onto its passenger side and was stopped from rolling any further by a line of trees in the ditch. Among those injured was 18-year-old Dylan Gopayez of Red Oak and three teens, two from Red Oak, one from Villisca. They were transported by Red Oak Rescue to the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital for treatment of minor injuries. The juvenile male was cited for reckless driving. The pickup was considered a total loss. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that at around 1 a.m. Sunday, a deputy observed a 2017 Hyundai SUV had driven through traffic barriers on the eastbound Highway 6 near Railroad Highway. The vehicle had collided with a guardrail and concrete barriers. The driver, 48-year-old Nikki Ellen Woods of Traynor, was arrested for OWI first offense. At around 8:35 a.m. Sunday, a Pott County deputy was advised by dispatch that a brown Jeep with a blue door was driving erratically on westbound Highway 92 in the area of 360th Street. The deputy was able to locate the vehicle and conduct a traffic stop on Highway 92 and 310th Street. The driver, 42-year-old Richard Henry Rapp of Oakland, was arrested for driving while revoked. A passenger, 37-year-old April Watson of Carson, was arrested for possession of a controlled substance. A field test of a substance in a container came back positive for methamphetamine that amounted to around 2 grams. Also from the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Department, Saturday afternoon, a deputy dispatched to a physical disturbance at a residence in Walnut arrested 31-year-old Robert Dale Hackwell of Walnut for a simple domestic assault second offense. Hackwell was taken into custody for allegedly assaulting his 41-year-old girlfriend, who suffered an apparent minor injury. Saturday evening, a Pott County deputy was called to a residence on Wilshire Avenue in Council Bluffs, where teens in the neighborhood were allegedly driving in high speeds. The deputy cited 18-year-old Hayden Hatcher of Council Bluffs for disorderly conduct. The Glenwood Police Department said yesterday there were three arrests over the past three prior days. On Sunday, 28-year-old Paige Black of Glenwood was arrested for domestic abuse assault. She was being held in the Mills County Jail without bond until being seen by a magistrate. That same day, 21-year-old Jacob Wilson of Glenwood was arrested for driving while revoked and failure to provide proof of SR-22 insurance. And on Friday, 19-year-old Dylan Barrett of Glenwood was arrested for shoplifting and possession of alcohol under the legal age. The Union County Sheriff's Office reports 27-year-old Peter Larson of Decatur City was arrested late Saturday evening at the Union County Law Enforcement Center. Larson was taken into custody on a warrant for probation violation and turned over to jail staff. And a man from Mount Air reported to the Sheriff's Office Thursday of last week that sometime in the last few months, someone broke into his property in Shannon City and took a steel weed eater, some saddles, three steel chainsaws, and various tools. The loss was estimated at $2,700. Elsewhere in state news, officials have approved using a conservative law firm to defend the state in a lawsuit challenging a law that bans most abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected. The Executive Council of Iowa voted unanimously Monday to allow the Thomas More Society to represent the state in the lawsuit filed last week in state district court. The Chicago firm agreed to do the work at no cost to the state after Attorney General Tom Miller disqualified his office from defending the law. The lawsuit filed by Iowa affiliates of the American Civil Liberties Union and Planned Parenthood says the law violates the Iowa Constitution. It bans most abortions at around 6 weeks of pregnancy, making it the nation's strictest abortion law. It's set to take effect on July the 1st. The five-member council includes Republican Governor Kim Reynolds, who was named in the lawsuit. She was traveling and didn't vote on the issue. A state agency has selected a private insurance company to join two others in providing health coverage under Iowa's privatized Medicaid program. The Iowa Department of Human Services confirmed Monday that Iowa Total Care, a wholly owned subsidiary of St. Louis-based Centene, will provide coverage beginning in July of 2019. Centene attempted an earlier bidding process to participate in Iowa's Medicaid program, but was not selected. Agency spokesman Matt Hyland said the company will undergo a readiness review over the next year, and more information will become available later. Iowa privatized its Medicaid program, which provides health care to the poor and disabled, in 2016. The program was initially run by three companies until one dropped out last year. Other companies providing Medicaid coverage include United Healthcare and Amerigroup. Some patients and healthcare providers have reported reduced and delayed services under the privatized system. The Waukee School District has reached another settlement with an employee who filed a lawsuit claiming that he was forced to resign after reporting improper conduct by the chief operating officer. The Des Moines Register reports the district on Monday paid a $175,000 settlement to Nicholas Bavas, who resigned as operations manager. He filed a lawsuit last June claiming he was forced to quit after reporting conduct to investigators by chief operating officer Eric Rose. Rose later admitted he kept a district snowblower at his home, directed employees to run errands for him, gave his wife and son key card access to district buildings, and sought donations from district vendors for his son's hockey team. In January, the district paid $985,000 to settle a lawsuit with the district's former human resources director after he reported Rose's conduct. One lawsuit remains, filed by Rose's former administrative assistant. Rose remains in his job and earns $142,800 annually. Waukee doesn't admit wrongdoing in the settlement, and Superintendent Cindy McDonald says the district denies Bavas' claims. In world news, experts say that the attributes of small, rural, and suburban towns are a breeding ground for the next school shooter. They say most small towns have low crime rates, good schools, and a sense of community where everyone seems to know your name. But of the 10 deadliest school shootings in the U.S., all but one took place in a town with fewer than 75,000 residents. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.